Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast.
We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing our way through parenthood, life, and owning creative businesses. I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one.
And I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, and performer, and mom of three.
Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us. We are back this week.
We're back!
With Michelle Houghton. She is a mom of one adorable little man, wife to Jeff. She's a professional counselor, painter, performer, writer. She's the co-founder of The Bravery Board and The Bravery Board podcast. You should take a listen. We've mentioned it a few times. A
billion times.
She's also a regular performer on the late night talk show, The Mystery Hour.
What? The Emmy Award winning?
The Emmy Award winning Mystery Hour. Michelle's also won an Emmy for writing and acting in Instagram Husband. You guys, she is the Instagram husband's wife.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The first person you see.
Michelle Houghton.
Michelle Yay! Houghton with a hat on.
She's Aww. Also Twin B.
Twin B.
So last week's lovely Jen.
Yeah.
She's here.
It's a twin thing, guys.
In the flesh.
We were like, should we put them in one episode or should we split them up like that egg that split inside their
split
mother?
Split them up like the egg. We had that text conversation, actually. That's true.
Yep.
So we split them up. There's too much goodness for one episode.
There's a lot of wisdom
in these twins.
And maybe that's what happened to the egg. It was like, too much. I'm breaking apart.
I'm separating. All the intentional self-care and goodness. Not enough.
Oh my gosh.
Were you one egg that split or were you two eggs that got fused?
Identical twins are one egg that split,
Shaylee.
I guess the correct question was, are you identical twins or are you fraternal twins? I should know that because identical looks exactly the same.
Fraternal is what we are.
Right. Okay. So, before we get into self-care.
Yes.
Which is one of the many topics Michelle is qualified to be speaking on.
Totally.
We're going to go ahead and thank our sponsor.
Amazing sponsor.
They follow Michelle on Instagram, actually.
Yes, they do. All of them.
And they were like, we got to sponsor this one.
Oh, yeah. We don't have a choice.
So, thanks to our sponsor tonight, which is...
Plants!
Plants. All of the plants. House plants.
Any plants.
Succulent plants.
Michelle, do you have any plants?
Oh boy. So this is full self-disclosure. I might have texted Shaylee and Katie and said, you guys, one of the sponsors that you could decide to put on, no suggestions here, but maybe, is plants. Because I have 56 plants in my house.
Oh my gosh. And if you divide that by like home square footage and plants.
I have a really small house. A lot of my plants are because I'm kind of cheap. So I like buying the little baby ones and I like giving, like I like taking care of them over long periods of time and making them bigger. So a lot of my plants, I count them individually, but they're tiny. Like they're not very big. They're in like small coffee cup size.
Of course, yeah.
The size that matters.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I'm just saying, so they count them each, but.
Would your mom not count the two of you when you were tiny little newborns?
Katie.
If it's all stuck together, it's just one baby, right?
Oh, Katie.
Also, I will say she's not just an in-home plant person, which is what I call myself. Not really, but I just decided right now. I have plants inside, nothing outside. Michelle also like gardens mm-hmm. and like plants outside, which actually, Jen, even though this is about Michelle now, but they're both like little gardener green thumb plantises.
Yeah.
Plantises. It's a word. Don't look it up.
I started gardening whenever I was, I don't know, just newly married. And so it's just been acquired over the years of like knowledge. But right. Yeah, I kill things still. I really do.
You do?
That shouldn't be a tag.
No, I kill them. It's just that I also, I go back and replant and like get better at certain things. You know what my favorite thing to grow is?
Tell me.
Garlic.
Ooh. What? Mm-hmm. If you said, how does garlic get in the earth? I wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. I would be like, the garlic factory.
Yeah.
They get this really pretty like stalk in July actually is whenever they're like, you harvest them, but they have this really pretty stalk and the seeds are on top and you can plant those in the ground in the fall. And so they just kind of regenerate.
And then where does the garlic bulb grow?
In the bottom, in the ground.
Like a root vegetable.
Yeah, it's fun.
Like a turnip.
No big deal.
Guys, free tip.
Okay, so some tags.
Michelle's going to be talking about
when Michelle garlic. Said she texted us and asked what she meant was she texts plants and then they had their people call our people.
Yeah.
And say, can we sponsor
sorry.
You?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Sorry.
Michelle.
Didn't mean to give that.
It's okay. I don't know what you're good.
And contractually, we're obligated to come up with some taglines for plants. So here we go. Plants!
if I'm owned by Katie, I'm already dead.
They come in a little Grim Reaper outfit.
I'm like, oh, I'm going to murder you. Oh, slowly. Plants. Guys, I don't know what the big deal is about me. I'm not going to lie. What are you doing? Why am I inside? What's happening? Why are you taking pictures of me? Why am I by a kinfolk? Why? How did I get by a kinfolk again?
Put me outside where I belong. Put me outside. Put me in the dirt.
I don't get it.
That's good. That's a good one.
That's good.
Why is any plant cost $260 at our local nursery? I don't know.
Does it?
Yes. The fiddle leaf ones. Fiddle leaf fix.
I have one of those.
Was it $260?
She grew it from a baby.
No. She grew it from a baby seed.
I had a gift card because somebody knows my obsession. So
okay.
I got a gift card.
A $200 freaking gift card?
No, $65.
If I plant a fig and I play the fiddle to it, will it grow into a fiddle leaf? Fig?
No.
Oh.
No.
Maybe this is why my plants are dying.
Maybe that's why. Get some cactus.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They're the trendy plant.
The trendy plant. Cactus. But the trendy plant.
I can't kill a cactus?
You could, but it would take like a lot of years of not watering it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hoard. Cactus are pretty unkillable.
And my kids probably wouldn't touch him.
Well, they would only touch it once.
All right. It's yeah. like a built-in...
get a cactus.
Kid-proof. Okay. Plants. Get a cactus.
Okay, that's good. I think they got like double the time of a normal sponsor, so
thanks, plants. Okay, so now we're gonna get into the meat.
Michelle has like 75 topics she could have done, but we narrowed it down to self-care, which is kind of a hot topic. We've dusted the topic before, have we?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, like in a Q&A.
We've dusted it.
We talked about like we talked about like Zumba and like how this is sort of
our self care was like take care of yourself, do 30 minutes of moderate exercise once a week. Literal,
and watch The Bachelorette.
The literal self care. Yeah. So we kind of touched the obvious thing.
We just sort of said what our regular self care routines are. Hmm. But
right.
Yeah.
Which then I've heard you talk about it.
It's yeah.
a whole lot different.
It's a very different, my take on self-care is a very different, but it comes from kind of experience of doing a lot of self-care and none of it working. So, yeah. Like, that's terrible to say, but, like, I feel like one of the things that's a hot topic about self-care is, like, take a bubble bath, treat yourself, eat some chocolate. Uh-huh. And I'm like, dang it, none of this is happening or is helping me at all. Uh-huh. Why is this not helping?
I'm crying, eating the chocolate in a bubble bath.
Right. And, like, just realizing that ended up, like, making me feel more of an empty, deep hole. And so...
And then almost worse, because you feel like this mm-hmm. should be fixing it.
Yeah.
I love this!
Yeah, right. So I think my take on it is a little bit different than maybe your average Joe, because of that experience of, like, kind of trying to do all the right things and none of it really working. So...
Walk us through that.
Well, okay, so...
Which, you're a counselor.
Yeah.
So people probably expect you...
To know
to
that.
To, like, have it all together in the self-care, right? Yeah,
probably. I'd say so. Well, and that's one of the things that counselors talk a lot about is, like, are you taking care of yourself? I mean, that's one of the things that I talk about really quickly with people who come in and have problems, like, trying to talk to them about, like, okay, so what are you doing that makes you happy? If you're so down and sad about everything, mm-hmm. like, let's talk about the good things, you know? And you try to talk about those self-care topics and things that they do that kind of clicks with them. But kind of what I found was that I was buying into a lot of that buzziness of it, that it really didn't fix things. I've always struggled with depression, and so that's something that I kind of used to hide from a little bit. But now, as I've gotten older, I've been like, what am I so embarrassed about? Like,
right.
Yes, I've taken medication on and off my entire adult life. Like, so is practically almost everyone else I know. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, you're good job if you don't have anxiety issues or depression issues at some point in your life.
You weirdo.
I know. Well, I mean, it is exciting for people who don't, but, like, there's so many people, especially women, that I know who do struggle with that. And so for a long time, I felt very ashamed of that in my own life. And so I think part of my issue was that there was a long period of time as an adult. I mean, I got married. I mean, I'll go back into a little bit of my story, but, like...
I was going to say,
but I think that this is kind of leads into what the topic of self-care means to me is, like, so my background is that I've been married for about 10 years to Jeff Houghton, which in our community, Jeff Houghton, I like to call him Mr. Springfield.
Right.
Because
Springfield likes to call him that, too.
Right, I know.
Jeffrey Springfield Houghton.
Yeah. And, you know, as we kind of talked about the very beginning of this was that Katie and I share the same pastime in being involved in my husband's talk show, which is the Mystery Hour. Mm-hmm. And so Katie and I, we knew each other before that, but became, I don't know, super close after you started doing that. But anyway, so back in the day, whenever we were first married, and he had moved to LA to try out acting for about a year, and then he came back, and within a month, I got pregnant. And I got pregnant, and at the same time, my husband was launching a local late-night talk show in Springfield, freaking Missouri, which isn't easy,
right.
And it still continues to not be easy, but it's something that has taken a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of his energy, and likewise, a lot of my energy, because we had a baby right in the midst of all that. And so I kind of went through this time period of my, I don't know, it was probably about 4 or 5 years ago, where it was like I was pregnant and having this new baby and having to take a lot of time to adjust who I was into becoming a mother, but then also supporting my husband in this career endeavor that he was doing that was taking a lot of time and a lot of effort. And so what I found myself doing was kind of getting deeper and deeper. I went through kind of a postpartum depression period, and then I also kind of went deeper and deeper into kind of just this feeling sorry for myself, sort of, where I was constantly supporting him, constantly supporting my child, and then at the end of the day, having very little left to like give to myself. And part of that was, I mean, now looking back, like I realized that I had built up those patterns for myself. So I would do things to like take care of myself, like take a bubble bath, you know, like I had a long week at work and I had, you know, gotten done with taking care of my kid, or like I was, you know, on baby duty again, you know, and struggling with like trying to figure out how to like fit in my needs and all of that. And so kind of my bent on self-care now is, there's this book that I read just in this past year that speaks to it really well by Elle Luna. She's an artist, and she had this corporate job in, I can't remember, I think out in California or something. She did like some Silicon Valley type job.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like working herself to death and realized that she really just wanted to paint. And so she quit her job and became a painter, which I kind of have done to some degree as well, minus the quitting my job part. But so I think the thing that she talks about in her book, which is called The Crossroads of Should and Must, is kind of a little bit of my story, which is like figuring out the difference between, as a woman, as a mother, as a supporter, constantly shoulding myself to death, which sounds funny.
It's so good.
And it's hilarious because actually a counseling term, we talk about don't should yourself. Like, stop shoulding yourself. And which, yes, I say that in a podcast and it sounds hilarious over people's earbuds, I'm sure. But the technical term of like actually saying to yourself, I should be doing this, rather than what do I want to do, or who am I, or what brings me life. And so there was a turnaround point to some point, probably a couple years ago, about a year ago, where I'd sort of hit rock bottom, super depressed, very angry. We've been friends throughout this whole time. So you guys kind of knew me a little bit during this time, whenever I was probably like complaining a lot more during girls group than like, you know, being my happy life giving self. And I came to realize that what was happening was that I was kind of putting myself in that place, mm-hmm. where I kind of was letting my own shoulds of who I should be and what life should look like, contribute to kind of my downfall to some extent. So
yeah. I stopped. I remember. The girls groups, and I'd be like, how are you doing?
I know. And I'd
be like, terrible. And then inside I'd be like, don't fix it. Don't try to fix it. Mm-hmm. Be okay with it. But I'd just be like, I don't know what to do to fix it.
I know. I was kind of a Debbie Downer for a while. And I look back on that time and feel kind of like, ooh, thanks for being friends with me,
No,
guys.
I like it. Because
hey,
it was
you
like
were friends
the first
with me during
time.
Pregnancy.
There you go.
Yeah, I know. Well, and I think women go through that a lot when they're adjusting to becoming mothers. And I have a big heart for that now, going through that, where it's like you realize that like your time is split between what you want to be doing in the world, like your job, your family, and then taking care of this like little tiny milk-sucking machine.
You know, we talked about that with travel too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big thing too. I love traveling and I had a hard time doing it and it was really hard. So I kind of changed all of that. When I started to realize, like, it's kind of like this rock bottom sort of moment, and then realized that what I needed to do was, like, stop listening to what I think I should be doing and instead do what I must. And that's been the good way for me to put it, based off of kind of somebody else's words, but it's really taught me a lot about kind of who I am and what I want to be doing in the world, and has given me a lot of practice on figuring that part out. So it's been great. But, like, self-care to me is more like following what your musts are.
Okay, so just because the first time I heard this from your bravery board talk, I had to literally pause. Literally, I pushed pause and had to like clarify in my brain. So a should versus a must in layman's terms. A should is an expectation
that you create
that
either
you created or someone else has created for you. That is maybe not necessarily even real.
Right.
A must is that thing
you have to do for survival.
That you that makes you come alive, that makes you
So a should is how others see that we should view our or how others would view our lives or how they think that we should be living our lives. And it's sometimes how you think you should be living your life. So it can play into kind of, you know, like you see, it's a perfect example is like going on Instagram or Facebook and seeing like somebody's perfect house and then like getting down on yourself because you live
I
in.
I should have a cleaner house.
Exactly. I should have this. I should do this. I should be more of a better blah, 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 you know, and you're not like, you know, Katie and I've had these conversations before where it's like Katie and I've talked about how she's more plays the role of Jeff, my husband, which is like a little bit more messy and a little bit more like got things kind of like all going at the same time. And you've talked to me before about how you're like, but I should be more of this person that has it together. And I do this time for this and do this thing for this, which you've kind of grown into a little bit over the years. But instead, like thinking I am this person that has a lot going on. What is that about me that like is alive, you know, and like thinking more in the terms of like, how is this a strength rather than something that I should change or should be different on? So musts are more like who you are in your truest self, like who you are in the things that you, if you were not having an audience at all, who are you? And like, what are the things that make you come alive and make you you and make you tick? And so kind of figuring those things out and doing more of those.
So if you're just tuning in.
Okay.
Last episode.
Life lessons.
Jen,
twins.
Jen said, why are you here on Earth?
Why are you on Earth?
And Michelle is asking us. Who are you?
Who am I?
So,
why am I
if
here?
You guys could just pause and figure out who am I and why am I here on Earth?
That's so funny.
And then just push on pause.
Push play.
Come back. See why the egg split?
Yeah.
The egg was like too much.
We're twins for a reason.
Yeah. When you said when no one else is around, I thought, who am I when no one else is around? And
panic.
I stay in my pajamas all day. I don't put makeup on.
You know what you are, though? You're creative.
And I just email all day.
No, you're creative.
Well.
That's who you are.
I'll take it.
Yeah, you are.
And I hang like garage sale doves on a mirror.
Exactly.
That's who I am in my truth.
I walk into your house and you've got like the most creative eye for like a vision for how you want to set things up.
My house is beautiful. My body is not.
Whatever.
My truest self.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. So that's kind of my bent on self-care and like. I think it's pretty easy to kind of spot somebody who's not practicing self-care in the sense that like they are kind of constantly like putting down themselves or like constantly driving conversations more towards like this should be different, which I think I was more in that place a while back and things have kind of changed a little bit. So
it's kind of like looking at where you're at. I think I'm going to say what's wrong. I'm going to like mess it up. Because part of it is accepting where you're at, but not just being apathetic about it.
Right.
But it's accepting I don't have to set unrealistic expectations for myself.
Yeah.
But let's find the things I do have to do.
Your must. Like, what are the things that you wake up in the morning and you get excited about? Like, or what are the things that, like, you dread? You know, what makes you... Jen said this in her last podcast, which is, like, what makes you cry? What makes you... like happy, what makes you laugh, like those types of things, and then do more of them.
That's
and
so good.
I think it's important to kind of figure that stuff out, and like especially as a woman, because I think a lot of times we get into these roles where we are playing sort of like a support, which I don't think either of you guys do that as much in your careers maybe as some women do, but I think a lot of times because you guys are both kind of doing your own thing to some degree, but a lot of women I think we see ourselves as, okay, I have to pay the bills. I have to be a good mom. I have to have my house together. I have to look cute, like, and all of this stuff. And we
I feel like all those apply.
Yeah, I know. But I guess I just mean, like, to me, it was a sort of a life where I was I thought that my place was to, like, in some in ways to support my husband, yeah. who was in the front of everything. And then I was bitter right, about the right. fact that he's Mr. Springfield and up on stage. And I'm just sitting back here kind of watching him do this amazing thing
yeah.
and do this amazing work in the world. And I'm sitting here going, why not me? Yeah. And then giving myself all the excuses for not right. doing the things. And then not ever being alive or like awake enough to be able to say, oh, I can do those things I want to do. I just need to figure out how to do them.
Right.
And
right.
so that's kind of how what's kind of changed a little bit.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hear some like specific examples of like a like maybe a should that you've let go and a must that you have said yes to.
A should would be like kind of that support thing. Like I need to, I'm not funny. So, I mean, you've known this because you've been part of this, but in the past year, I decided to go ahead and join Jeff with the Mystery Hour, and that's been a
thank God you did.
That's been a very interesting part of my life because I've been on the sidelines watching him do improv for a number of years, and then do the Mystery Hour for a number of years. And so it was like I never got involved because I didn't think I was funny,
right?
Which I mean, technically, like my personality and the type of person I am, I'm not going to be coming up with zingers. Like, I'm just not. It's just not my, it's not who I am. It's not, like, my thing. But I have a role to play in what he does, and I've been playing it on the sidelines the whole time. I just thought I didn't have the right to get up on stage and do any of it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to. But yeah, like, and that's the thing. I realized that I am good enough that I could do that.
Or you didn't feel like you were allowed to want to do it.
Yeah.
Because it was his thing.
Yeah, it's his thing. I need to be a support. And I've always kind of seen myself in relationship to other people. I think part of it is being a twin, walking through the world with someone else constantly, that who I see myself as is kind of in relationship to someone else, and how am I support, and how can I continue to support that person, mm-hmm. and how do I like play this role where I'm constantly like balancing all of that, and not realizing that like I was doing that to limit myself. And so I'd say that the example would be that I didn't think I was good enough to be up on stage, when it's like, you don't have to be good enough. You just have to like show up and
you just have to be willing
and willing. Right. And you know, I think part of it was that I was afraid that I would always look like the wife who isn't funny, but that is up on stage because her husband is doing the show. And I don't think that's been the case.
Mm-mm,
like
not
I, at all. And I look at it like critically now after, especially I decided to kind of do the show after, about a year ago, and the first role that we talked about was like, I should maybe like take notes during our meetings.
Right.
You're like, I guess I can be your secretary.
Well, and then I was kind of like, I don't think I want to be a secretary.
Right.
And so then I kind of jumped in more, and then that's when we did Instagram Husband.
Right. It was like the first thing we did.
I know. I was like front and center during all of that, and actually came up with a lot of the ideas for it, and we had talked about it for a long time before that. And then I realized like, oh, I have a lot to offer.
Right.
And so it's been a really
good. You're like, I know Instagram cliches.
I don't believe
Let me tell you what happens on Instagram.
Exactly. So that was fun.
Also, I would like to point out just from a, like inside the writer's room insight is, here's a question for the listeners. Have you ever watched SNL and been like, that sketch did not go anywhere. Was it an inside joke between the writers? I'm not sure what happened there. Michelle can tell us that.
Hey guys, before, this isn't working.
Before it happens.
Yeah, I do.
So I'm not kidding. Like, I don't know if it's just like a quality in your brain that's different than someone who's been like in improv for years, mm-hmm. and I'm hilarious. You're like, except for that's not gonna play.
It's kind of this awful critical eye to some degree.
But it's good.
It is good. Well, it refines things. And I've done that to Jeff for years now. And I didn't realize that was a very important production sort of role to be like, guys, I'm sorry, but you guys are fooling around with this idea that doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. And it's 10:45.
Yeah.
You need to wrap it up. The horse has been beaten to death.
Yes. So there's a little bit of that. But I'd say for the must in that, it was that was a marriage move. My must was not that I need to be up on stage. My must is that I need to keep my marriage together.
Be a good wife.
And we were spending so much time apart. And then I was so freaking frustrating with kind of living this life that I wasn't really too excited about. And then I'm like, I'm doing this to myself. Stop. And so it's like, how do I own my voice, sort of? And so just kind of started doing different things and kind of trying different avenues, and that was one of the things that worked. So now I'm working with you, Katie.
I know, I'm so happy. So what about the painting must?
The painting must. That was during the time that I was kind of going through like the really hard time, and I just started painting like crazy. It was sort of a process for me to kind of spend time alone. Like, I've never been good at spending time alone, ever. I've never been good at being quiet and being alone and being with myself. Part of that also is probably being a twin.
Right, true.
I
wasn't even in the womb by myself.
Exactly. I've never been good at sitting. I always get up and start cleaning things immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, if I sit down and I don't have anything to do.
Me too. Yeah, that's Katie's problem. Stop cleaning my house during the podcast.
I can't help it.
I realized that during that time, and then realized that I needed to kind of be really intentional with myself. I was being so much more intentional with everybody else. I mean, I've always prized my friends and like spent a lot of time with friends, or spent a long time with my sister, or spent a lot of time with like my husband and my son, and always putting kind of other people first and realizing
giving.
Yeah. And realizing that I wasn't putting any like pennies in my own box and not spending any time by myself. And so I realized that
I'm out of pennies.
Realized to a certain extent that I was kind of like not doing great at that. So I started painting. It was kind of my way of just spending time by myself and just kind of working through sort of some of the things that I needed to work through.
I'm picturing each brush stroke and then the sound of like a into the jar.
A penny. Clink. A penny for your thoughts.
That's adorable.
And then paint.
And slowly.
Big pennies.
I will say
slowly the jar begin.
Overfloweth.
That's funny.
With so overflow.
All the pennies. Also, if your jar isn't full of pennies, you don't have any pennies to give to anyone else.
They're like little faux pennies that are made out of dust. Just like.
Also known as dust.
I think that they look like a penny.
They're dust shaped like a penny, which also could just be a penny.
We might be all in this penny thing.
Okay. Yeah, I think so. But it's okay.
She's
okay.
Like, why do I say pennies?
It's very cute. Yeah. So that's where that came from. I don't know. It was one of those things where I started to hoard them and realized that I had a ton of them. A ton of paintings in my house, and I was
I thought you were talking about pennies. I was like, a hoard of pennies. How many did you cash in?
No, that's funny because like you did go off on dollars. Pennies. That makes sense. Yeah, no, I wasn't talking about pennies. I was talking about paintings.
Paintings. Pennies.
Sounds
paintings.
Like pennies, and I digress.
Did you paint any pennies?
No, well, I didn't.
Stop the pennies!
Stop it! And we're done.
I started to hoard those paintings and realized that I really wanted to have people see them.
And you're not classically like, trained, but really good.
Mm. You are really good.
Oh, thanks.
What's that about?
Thanks. I don't know. I didn't. Jen, my sister, has also painted too, and she's really good as well. And we just kind of always did that throughout our years. And Jen actually had training in it. I did not. But I started to.
What are you guys not good at?
I know. She's ridiculously good at everything. Yeah. But I. So I started.
Say thanks, Jen.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm sorry. You started to
call
what?
Call back. So funny. Yes, if you didn't know this, Jen is in the room.
They're always together.
Always.
They live in the same house with their husbands.
Thanks.
What's the compliment?
Sorry. That's awesome. So I started to hoard them and realized that I had a lot and I wanted to see people to see them, and it was scary, and I didn't. And I realized through that time that I was scared. And like that this was something that was kind of like this process that I'd gone through of like realizing that I wanted to be more creative and that I am creative and that I can own that even though I'm not classically trained. Like I don't know anything about, I don't know. I've never been through a painting class.
They're so good. And your process
is weird.
No, it's good. Oh, okay. Talk through your process.
It's different. I mean, I was once at this painting thing where there was like this live painting event that somebody in our community had asked me to be a part of. And this guy who's been to a ton of painting classes comes up to me and is watching me while I'm painting. And he's like, wow, you like do some things that are really different. And I'm like, okay.
You're like a renegade.
Keep going. And he's like, I mean, you put out all your paints at once, which I mean, nobody does that. And like, oh, I see you're putting this on here like this, which is basically him pointing out all the things that they've told other people not to do that I was doing. And I was like, well, it works for me. So.
There are no rules. Really? Like, what I like to do is take all my classical training and then I deconstruct it into a more primitive art form from the heart.
So, yeah, that's kind of, it's more just like I I am in a mood and I want to paint. And so I put a bunch of paints out on a canvas that I think look like each other and like, or look good together, and then start painting. And then I pick it up another couple days later, and then I keep going until I like it. I mean, there's not really, it's just much more of like me trying to express myself through like visually, that I have gone through that process of like figuring out that that's something I have to do. Mm-hmm. Like I can't, if I don't do it, I am not a good person. Like,
That's a must.
Yeah. So I just kind of realized that it's something I need to do, is be creative. And so painting has been a really good outlet for
that's like a cool must.
Yeah. It's like, and then I just have to like create beautiful art.
I just have to
be my inner self.
Man.
What if my must is like donuts?
I must eat donuts.
Must eat a donut.
I really must eat donuts sometimes.
Katie had a son that had a fourth birthday and posted a big old picture bunch of donuts, and I almost like came to your house and kicked you.
It was a Donosaurus cake.
A Donosaurus?
That's adorable. I love it. I remember the first time I posted anything on Instagram, I think I did look at it like 50 times that day. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to take it down.
And there
was
like 3 likes. Katie, Jen, Shaylee. Shoot.
Dang it.
They don't count.
No. I don't believe that for a second.
There were definitely a lot of refreshes. But what was nice is that I did get good feedback. And now I look back on that first one and I'm like, ooh. Like, not so happy with that one. But, I mean, it was one of those process that it's like I took little steps to put myself out there. And then the more that I did it, I'm like, oh, I didn't die.
Right.
Okay, I can keep going.
You didn't die.
I didn't die. And now I feel like I did that. And I still get in my head to some degree about like, okay, when do people really think about this? Because I kind of have a complex of like worrying that people think things about me that they're not telling me.
I think that's like called every being person. A woman.
Yeah.
And a human being.
Yeah.
So.
That's good.
So I still to some degree like struggle with that. But it also is one of those things I think is really important to practice getting over that, because everybody's going to think weird things about you, and nobody's going to like all your stuff 100% of the time. So some people might hate my stuff, and that's fine.
And like, as we say, they're not our target audience.
Yeah, that's people please myself to death, you know?
Because that would be like a terrible way to exist.
Right, yeah.
People pleasing yourself to death.
Yeah. Well, you just can't. And we can do, you know what? Let's do a whole episode on like haters and...
Right now?
And critics. No.
Haters, where are you at?
Let's table it. But my tiny teaser would be...
Tiny teaser.
Worst case scenario, someone doesn't like it, tells you they don't like it, or tells the internet they don't like it, in my case. And then you are... Like, you survive?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, well, okay.
Yeah.
Now I have, like, no fear.
That's what I was scared of.
Right. And I'm alive. Okay.
The thing that you think is the worst thing that's going to happen... usually, and this is also another counseling principle, the thing that you think the worst thing that could happen has usually already happened.
Mm.
Oh, wait. Hold on.
The thing that you're fearing the
Jedi
most...
Jedi mind trick.
The thing that you're fearing the most that could happen, that you're worried about, has already happened.
To you?
Almost, yes, a lot. Because if you think about, like, with that fear of, like, somebody not liking your stuff, I guarantee somebody doesn't like your stuff.
Right. We probably have close friends of ours that does not like the podcast.
Right.
And it's okay.
Mara.
We literally had the conversation today and we're like, I bet Mara doesn't listen to our podcast. I'm like, I don't think she listens to our podcast.
Why would she? And then we go, she's not our target. She's our exact target.
She is.
That's okay. You can't win them all.
Yeah. Can't win them all.
She's going to
listen. If we never hear about this, Mara,
she's
going
to listen to this and she's going to like send you a message immediately.
No,
Mara,
she's not.
Do you guys talk about Mara before on this? Do people listening know?
They know. Why do you not know Michelle? We've
blamed the entire podcast.
This is what I say to all of my friends who are like, I haven't listened to all of them. Like, my sister-in-law was like, I feel bad because one of my friends was saying she liked it and I hadn't really like listened. I'm like, you know me in real life. If you know me in real life, you are in no way obligated.
You get it for free.
I do not expect.
You get Shaylee for free all the time.
I do not expect that you would listen to all the Bravery Board podcasts.
I do, though. I
except
do.
For oh,
and I take notes. Up. I actually have a blog called The Bravery Blog where I just recap all of your podcasts every week.
I guess I don't expect other people that would listen to every single thing, or even like every single thing. And that's the reason why you do different things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You have different guests on your podcast so you can have different people like different things.
It's not for, it's not. Yeah. For everyone. It's for the people who are like,
So I don't worry about that for like the artwork that I do. I think about things that I would want to hang in my house.
Ooh, that's
good. And then I make that.
Make the podcast you want to listen to. That's what we did.
Yeah. So.
And do something like, I think Katie said that when it's like.
What? Tell me more
things I said. If you do something that scares you, it means you're alive.
Means you like, it means you care about it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's like a
yes
thing.
I love that.
But I got really nervous about the podcast. And Katie's like, that's good. That means you're alive. You're living. And I was like, I'm living. I'm living.
If you are worried about it and you're scared about it and you think about it and
but
you
kind
up
of
night,
are excited about it.
It's like that means you have some skin in the game.
You got some skin in the game.
That
skin
means
game.
That you care. And that's like worth continuing to work through. Like that's so
that's
good.
That's so good.
So
when we started our own business, I'm a stressor. I'm a stressor at heart. And so I kind of hit that point of like I was like just stressing out about like, well, we have work for 3 months, but then what about the month after that? And then what about this? And then bills and then life. And then what if a tornado hits? I mean, we don't know what's coming next.
Right.
And I kind of got to that point where I was like, worst case scenario. Like, what's my worst case scenario?
You move in with your parents.
Right. I'm like, we lose all our money. We sell our house. And we move in with my parents in their basement.
And like pick ourselves back up.
Right? I'm like, that's not so bad. Like, no. We have family that are stable that we could move in with, which not everyone has that, but like we do. And so I'm like, my worst case scenario is not that bad.
Right. Now let's breathe.
Yeah.
I have to do that all the time. I'm the financial worrier in my family too. Yeah. So I have to, I have to remind myself that too.
Amazon Prime.
Oh gosh, Amazon Prime.
Yeah, I'll get ya.
Okay, so I have a... like kind of a clarifying question because there's obviously some shoulds you have to do, right?
I know.
Like I should pay my bills.
Yeah.
I should pay my bills, but I must.
But I must Amazon Prime.
But I must get some more plants. I do need more plants. I have 5. One died. But
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Thank you. I haven't like accepted it yet. It's like a stick, like a very dry stick, and I keep watering it every day.
I have like, if a plant is 50% dead, I'm like, you're dead to me, and I dump it.
I do that too. It's growing wildly.
But then I buy another one.
Yeah, it stresses me out when it starts looking sickly, and I like just give up. Like, well, you're dead, pretty much dead. Aww. You have a virus. You're dying.
Bye.
I'm picturing it in the landfill, like blossoming and spreading out.
I just dump it in my yard.
You never knew.
So then, if it grows again, I'm like, joke's on you. You're still part of my garden.
why do you hate your plants so much?
Anyway, love them, just not the sickly ones.
Joke's on you. I guess what I'm just saying is, like, just in case someone's listening to it,
the
going,
and musts.
I shouldn't, you know, whatever. I don't have to do anything I don't ever want to do.
I should take care of my crying baby, but must I?
Yes,
but I guess,
you must.
I guess we're just talking about the extra shoulds or the level, the
well, it's people
like,
that
superior
put a lot
level
of shoulds on themselves. I feel like there's a type. Right. That struggles with it more than others. I feel like there's another type that's like,
I don't care what you think.
I'm fine. I don't care what anyone thinks. And these are things I have to do to get by in life. And that's fine. And that's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which they're not listening. Let's be honest.
So you're asking basically like, so there are shoulds in life that we all have to do.
Right.
So what are you like when you're clarifying like what the difference is between like the shoulds that I'm talking about when you spend too much of them?
Yeah, I guess I'm maybe more clarifying for listeners just in case. Like just sort of the... like I should be a mom. Well, you are a mom, so you've done
that's not
one you can really get rid of. But I should be a Pinterest mom who has meaningful crafts every night with my kid, and if I'm the mom of the year.
Send out Christmas cards.
Yes,
I should send out Christmas
cards.
Those
are maybe possibly part of the letting go of the shoulds.
I think if you're operating in a life like a mind frame that you are constantly choosing what you should do rather than what you want to do.
It's not aligned,
then it's,
possibly.
Then you've kind of hit it's like you're too far in that. Mm. Because there's a medium and a balance in everything.
Right.
So, yes, we have responsibilities. I'm a parent. I had to give my son a bath tonight before I came over. You know, I have to make sure that he has clothes. I have to buy them on Amazon Prime. there's things that you have to do. But I think that if you're constantly choosing what your existence is, what your job is, what your, like, I can't leave my job because we have to pay the bills. Well, can you figure out a way with your husband to make that work in a different way?
Right.
If it's killing you and you don't like it, then maybe you should figure out a way. You don't have to just keep saying, oh, poor, pitiful me.
Victim. Yes.
It's a victim mindset over a victor mindset.
Yes.
So being the victor of your story, figuring out how to be creative with what you've been given. And that's the other thing. Like, I haven't quit my job.
Right.
I haven't really changed. None of my circumstances have really changed. Like
they have though, but you're talking about like the hard.
I'm talking about the hard facts, right?
Right.
I'm still married to a man who works a lot. I still have a son. I still have to work full time. I still don't have a lot of money. Like, you know, those things have not changed. What has changed? Me figuring out ways around the things that were kind of stressing me out and making me sort of miserable to some extent. So if I constantly am blaming it on, we don't have any time for me to go on a vacation, we'll figure it out. Like, or we don't have any money. Okay. So like a couple years ago, I decided during my spring break that I was going to drive down to Florida and go
which
camping.
Which is how many hours from Missouri?
16.
16 hours. Okay, that's a while.
Drove by myself and camped for 4 nights by myself out on the beach and then drove home. And like, that was something that's being creative with what you've been given. And
word.
That's me realizing that I needed to spend some time by myself. And if I didn't, I was going to be hurting. But I didn't have like other possibilities for how to make me getting to the beach happen.
Right.
So I was like, well, drive there. That's then fun. Michelle, do it. Like, figure it out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the difference, I think. And that in like, I heard it put really well by Elizabeth Gilbert, who is one of my heroes. She's the author of Eat, Pray, Love.
I literally was wondering if you were going to
bring her
not
up.
Not quote her.
She's actually a guest next week on the podcast. Make sure you tune in.
Liz. Call us.
Sorry, we haven't emailed you back. We're working on it.
Right. I have heroes. She's one of them. But she says, like, don't keep continuing to make decisions that make you feel like you're living a slow death,
right?
But that you're participating in a river of change.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I feel like the difference is like realizing that you have options, and they might feel like small windows of options, but if you throw out all the options before you even can move forward, then you're not living, you're not changing, you're not growing, you're not learning.
So whereas Michelle working a job and feeling like she didn't get to do all of the things she like loved out of life, instead of being like, well, I want a totally different job and do not have this job or something like completely like unrealistic.
Right.
You were like, or in my free time, which isn't a lot, I can work on painting, taking time off, investing in new exciting ventures and take care of myself so that I'm good at the job that I do have, which you are really good at it.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know. If I was a middle school girl, I'd want to talk to you.
I totally would. One thing. It is weird being a counselor and not having anybody know.
I know. We don't know.
Nobody knows.
We're like, you're really good at your job. We think.
You're really
no idea.
It's confidential, so.
But like every conversation I have with a friend is completely different than what I would have for like a client. What are the things?
What are your musts?
What are the musts? What are the things you need to be doing in the world that make you happy and make you you?
I must create creative content, and then one of my parenting musts, which is this is new, but I feel like your musts can change as your seasons change.
Yes, absolutely.
They must change.
But one thing that I absolutely love about homeschooling is the time where Callie and I are seated side by side getting lost in a book together.
Aww.
And so when I'm examining my education options for next year, because full disclosure, in real time, we might not homeschool next year. I was like, what's the must that I'd be devastated to live without? And it's the reading time. And so kind of realizing...
Oh,
I can
guess
still
what?
Read.
People who go to public school still read with their kids.
You know, it can be our after school ritual or whatever.
Exactly. And that's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about.
Exactly.
That it doesn't have to be like, I must do all of this stuff to homeschool my
you
daughter
feel like
because
I
have to homeschool her, and it's must. It's this thing, this ideal that isn't actually working for my life.
Right.
And then figuring out all the ways around making that
that's
whole
what,
big thing this really important.
Like, I can't part with this. Which specific
part
can't you part with?
Exactly.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh,
I feel like I could part with math. I'm not going to lie.
I bet you could. I know I could.
It is pretty cute.
I'm terrible at it.
There's a fraction joke in there, but I won't.
I still count on my fingers. Like,
me too.
I have to add and subtract on my fingers.
And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then I think, are they watching? And then I'll hide my hands if I'm in public.
Yeah.
But I might still mouth it.
Right. Okay, Shaylee, so do you have any musts?
Sounds like public school is maybe.
Math or smell.
Public school is maybe not. Winning in this conversation.
Oh, I'm winning.
Just kidding. Okay. Must?
Creating something.
Yeah.
Creative, which is Katie's, but me also.
No, I think we're all creatives. That's part of why we're really good friends and mesh really well.
Yeah.
You're very creative.
Thank you. But I would say I'm not creative in the way of like writing a blog or like scrapbooking, which I enjoy scrapbooking, but I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm thinking in my head, like, is that a must? Should I be scrapbooking?
I do. If you must, you might have
bring
started
me
doing
tears.
It doesn't bring me into tears.
But is that, I don't know. I might be confused.
These pinking shears.
They made the scissors are so cute. They I like spending time with people, I think is a must.
That's good.
I feel like I'm in some way contributing to their life and they're contributing to my life.
Yeah.
Where it's not just like,
like a healthy
I'm giving to them. Or like, they're taking... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good, healthy relationship.
There's something in your soul, though, that thinks, I want to make something prettier.
And I... Yeah.
Or better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't think that that has to be spending money.
Right.
Right.
Or like having the newest things, obviously, because I like old stuff.
You guys have talked about a really cool amount of things about that on your podcast, which is basically like, how do you live a life that like is... quality and comfortable and worthwhile, but not having to pull out all the stops to do it.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like well, your cleaning episode or like talking about like shopping and like having, I don't know. You've done a good thumb job on that,
but that is live.
Very good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah. No. Well, and I think too, it's like, we just live in such a society of like more, 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 spend more, need more, buy more things.
Don't need more.
Right. Yeah.
No. Cause you know what happens then?
The girl in the
all your pennies
be done. All your pennies be gone.
Are gone again.
So good.
Literal pennies this time.
Literal pennies.
Not metaphorical
that
pennies.
That was real. That wasn't a candle lid.
Okay, so we're just in time for our segment. The girls don't know what it is.
I know. I can't wait.
I know what it is.
Can't
okay.
wait.
I'm improving.
No, you do.
This segment.
No, that's good. Michelle.
Yeah.
You are married to a professional improviser.
I am.
Jeff Houghton.
You have seen more improv shows than probably anyone should
ever see.
To be honest, you've seen more improv shows than most improvisers because we don't really watch shows. We're just in them.
So true.
And it's they leave, probably like, way worse to watch them than to be in them.
There is nothing worse than a really bad improviser who's really eager.
Who's really eager. Oh, she's going to vent.
Anyway,
I love it.
But so, Jeff or you are not that.
Oh, that's sweet.
You're welcome.
Or anyone. Yet, dare I say anyone in the mystery hour.
No.
Oh,
no.
How kind.
It's
how
true.
Kind. Well, I think Michelle has some skills she's learned over the years
skills
that she's
that
just not really been able to show because she's always in the audience at an improv show. Not at the mystery hour, but a literal, legitimate
Just
improv show, make them up, joke. So, Michelle, what is the building block of improv?
Yes, and.
Did you hear how fast she said that?
It's like she's married to someone who does improv.
So fast.
Can I just like time out for a second?
Yeah.
We use that as a marriage principle.
Tell me.
Yeah. Well, Jeff is like, let's do this tonight. And I'm like, I don't really want to do that. I want to do this. He's like,
So be like, we should and get Andy's before it.
Yes.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, maybe have it be your default in your brain.
Yeah.
And if you can't, it's fine. But like, maybe
try.
Our marriage default can sometimes just be like, no, that's a terrible idea. Like, just whatever. That could be our
or instinct. Just all the Debbie Downer, shoot it down.
Or it could be like, maybe not tonight, but that sounds like a great idea for another time.
Oh, I love
yes,
you,
or.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
But anyway, okay. So this is a just sort of like a basic skills game.
Okay.
Okay, so
when
it's
you
literally
say basic skills that you're setting it up for, like if you can't do it.
No. It's like I'm saying more like it's like a training game. Like you wouldn't probably do this in front of an audience because it'd be a little bit boring to watch.
But we're going to.
Well, yeah, but it's a good kind of drill the thing into you, sort of thing. Okay, so basically, I'll start because that's generous. I will say a sentence. Shaylee will say you could literally say yes,
and
add to the scene. Right?
Okay. Yes.
And then Michelle will say yes, and we'll just do this like two or three rounds.
Okay.
And then we'll go for it. Okay. So, the play's about to start.
Yes, and I am so excited to see a Shakespeare play.
Yes, and Shakespeare is like the foundation of all really good literature.
Yes, and Antonio Banderas is playing Hamlet.
Yes. And he's married to that blonde lady.
Yes, and her eyeliner is so good. And have you noticed her eyelashes? They're like super like high up there and they just look ridiculously good.
Yes, and the building's on fire.
Yes, and I'm on my way out.
Yes, and I'm going to steal your puppy and take it with me.
Yes. And I'm going to climb on the puppy's back for a free ride.
Yes, and I'm going to go ahead and take this dead puppy and put it outside.
Yay! That was a yes.
And scene.
And scene.
There was no way it was a big dog. It was a child dog.
All right. Michelle Houghton, ladies and gentlemen.
Michelle Houghton.
Let's hear it.
Oh, yes.
Slow clap. We're doing a golf clap.
Okay.
Well, not quite.
I'm bowing. I'm bowing if you can't. She's bowing. You can't see me.
You can see.
But I'm bowing.
They see you.
Counted them today. I had originally told you I had 52, but
plants
then
was like, we're only sponsoring if she has over 50.
I have 56 plants 56 in my house. Plants. In my house.
How much time do you spend like watering them?
Just once a week.
Once a week, you just go around to each little guy and you're like, I love you.
Okay, but a lot
you're
of
special.
My,
you're special.
Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in front of a live French bulldog in Springfield, Missouri. Thanks so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you guys on Instagram, Facebook, or feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes. The more reviews, the more visible we are in the iTunes store. And the more visible we are, the better chance we have of getting a legitimate sponsor. And the more sponsors, the more money. And the more money...
Mo problems.
Wait.
Wait.
No, that's not good.